Mike?
Hey, Rob.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well on yourself?
Good. Great. Great.
Good, good.
What's on your mind?
Well, it's Tony and I today. Anthony's is out this week. He's on
Whoa.
vacation.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, good.
Doing well. We asked Amelia Belonic to join us for our Monday kickoff meetings and for our Friday results lunches, and she was very enthusiastic about that and has joined us this week.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
Okay.
we do. She and I and Anthony do a little bit of joint work together, and we all feel very confident in each other, and that's a direction I think we all want to go in, which is finding more ways to work together. But even in the absence of that, it still makes sense just to have her involved as a partner in our accountability efforts.
Terrific.
Yeah, I
Okay.
think so. We'll see where that all evolves. I'm very open to that evolving in ways that include actually formalizing something, or just keeping it as is, as we currently are, being more informal.
Right. Smart.
Yeah, I think so. I really respect the clarity of her vision and her purpose in terms of how she's looking to build, really build a first-class only airline.
Wonderful.
Yes, definitely. I do have a question.
Yes.
So, we have a date for the first meeting of the mastermind group. Not sure if I
Yes,
mentioned
yes.
that to you or not.
Well.
We're going to do August 27th, which is a lunch on Tuesday. I don't love the idea of lunches. I think dinners would probably be more effective, but we're, my co-founder wanted to do lunch, so I deferred to him. What do you think works best?
Well, it depends. I mean, if you've read the chapter, they go from, the entire morning,
Yeah.
with one, right?
Sure.
To breakfast, to dinners, to lunches. It's really whatever suits the group, but the tendency is to give yourself enough time to have an effective conversation. I have one group that meets for a whole day.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to tell you. I think it's a start. It can be a, I'd consider it a planning session,
Yeah.
rather than, I mean, you got to make it exciting enough that people want to come back, but at the
Right.
same time, it's not enough time to really delve into the kind of issues that you're going to delve into.
Yeah, and I mean, my fear with lunch is that, somebody shows up half an hour late, but we've already gotten started. Somebody else has to leave. Everybody's phones and texts are going off. It just
Right.
seems like dinner is a more relaxed type of environment. Although I don't want it to turn into, a drinking society and a night out from the wife either.
No, so you're right on. I mean, it's got to be a serious 2 hours of sitting and really, grilling somebody. I
Yeah.
think the best mental model for you is the YPO model, the Young Presidents model.
Okay.
If you can do some homework on that.
Yeah, I'm writing it down.
But the young presidents, I mean, everybody in their own way is the president of their own operation, right? If you're a law partner or you're a CPA running your firm or even a partner in a law firm, I mean, you run in your own practice, you've got responsibilities to run a business. And most of the time, you get into issues that you're really generally uncomfortable with. And you're not trained, you're not really trained to handle them. And therefore, you feel uncomfortable. And those are a lot of times personnel issues. All right. And I get a lot of questions on personnel issues because, you know, we don't cover that. You know, you talk about, you know, picking money managers. Now you're very comfortable. That's what
sure.
you do.
Yeah, sure.
But when it comes to hiring a new employee, or how do you pay your people effectively to get the best returns for both of you, you know, mm-hmm. those are uncomfortable topics. And all
sure.
of you are in the same boat, right? I mean, you're
pretty
all
much.
In the business of hiring and training and developing. And the other thing is getting new business. You know, most people outside of our business don't have a plan for developing new business. They've got kind of a
sure.
something that everybody has always done, you know, with their firm. Well, we've always joined these organizations and we've been on boards and we do this and we do that. But, you know, there's no time spent on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are uncomfortable for the group and therefore things they really want to talk about. But you can't get into a good conversation about a topic in, you know, while, you know, over lunch. It's just too short.
Right.
You can meet somebody. You can have a valid introduction. It's a great
sure.
it's a great time to meet people. It's not a great time to, you know, open up your heart to what's going on in your practice. So
yeah.
That's the difference. So breakfast is a great time to meet with centers of influence that you know already. You have a quick get together with them. You exchange a few names and introductions. Maybe you have a person that's coming to the meeting that you want to introduce. Breakfasts are great because they're limited definitely to less than an hour. A coffee is a great way to meet people. That's 20 minutes. And lunch is an hour and maybe an hour and 15, and dinner can be comfortably done in 2 hours, especially if you start at 5 or something and then go till 7 and then you still get home.
Sure.
That's a great use of those 2 hours. You know, a lot of people want to work out, but then, you know, try and get them to do their workout in the morning before you have your meeting. So just logistically, that to me, I mean, that's what you're talking about, logistics,
mm-hmm.
what works best. And remember, generally, your topics are everybody brings a good idea and everybody brings a problem.
Okay.
Okay. And then once, if you have time, you're not over lunch, you're not going to have time to do this, but over dinner, you know, the first hour would be your good idea and your problem. The second hour would be focusing on one person and having
okay.
them really, you know, bring their business plan, you know, bring their 5-year business plan, bring their 1-year business plan, share it with the group and really show them under the covers what you're trying to do and then get some feedback from them.
Okay.
Okay. So if everybody did that, everybody would be far ahead. If you ask everybody for their business plan, no one could produce one, okay?
Okay.
And they all need them because if you met, you know, you meet with a consultant and they want you to advise on their business, they're going to want you to build a business plan. That's what we're going to do in the second half of, you know, once we get through the 12 weeks of Supernova, I want you to build a business plan, and then we're going to consult on that and try and make it as effective as you can.
Sounds good. Where are we, by the way, in terms of what week is this?
We're week 9. We're week number
okay.
9. So we have a
got
few
it.
More weeks, but, you know.
Thank you.
And there's, you know, there's a lot of material, as you know, even though you've been through this, you're good on the segmentation, the organization. You're wanting to spend the whole time on acquisition, but there's 7 strategies in acquisition that take effort and time and focus and skills and all that. So, you know, that can eat up a lot of our time. But
sure,
we want to, you know, I don't want to get into administrative things, but I do want to make sure that you have a clear vision of where you're going, and as you build your team out, you know, sharing that vision and really being motivated by it is very, very important to you and mm-hmm. to the team.
Sure, that makes sense.
Okay.
I had a question about the mastermind group.
Yep.
I'd like to, you know, the idea, the way we left it was we set the date, and my the guy who is doing this with me, he's the luxury commercial realtor, residential realtor.
Right.
We said that we're going to propose a couple of names to each other prior to the meeting of people to invite, like in the next week or so, because, you know, my thinking is I don't want to bring a CPA and he brings a CPA, you know, I mean, I want to kind of coordinate with him because I feel like that would be kind of awkward. But, you know, so I have a few people in mind I'm looking at bringing. I want to have a good estate planning attorney. But right now, you know, I don't really have a person I can look to. You know, there's the young guy who he's never referred me anything back, but he does really good work, so I've referred to him. There's the older lady who is basically winding down her practice, so, you know, she's not, I mean, that's kind of a dead end anyway. But then there's this guy, Julian, who is the guy who Anthony met at this organization event. And the three of us met, and then he sent us those two guardianship accounts the next day. He's young and he's dynamic. He's a perfect choice, but he's Anthony's contact, right? So
does he do business with the people of the size that you're interested?
Yeah, but from my perspective, I mean, does inviting Anthony's guy to my mastermind group really make sense? I mean, Anthony already has that relationship. You know?
Yeah,
I
would say your instincts are good there. No, is your answer.
Right, because then it almost seems like, well, if I'm bringing Anthony's attorney, I need to invite Anthony to the mastermind
right.
group. In which case, all I've done is really created a mastermind group for Anthony.
Right, in some way. Yeah, Anthony could have his own, you know, that's...
Right. Or, I mean, the other thing is then, I mean, if you know, I'm mindful of not having one and one equal, you know, one plus one equaling one, meaning that, you know, me bringing in Anthony on my things and him bringing me in on his things, I mean, then it's just two guys doing redundant work, you know?
Yeah.
All right, so I'll keep looking. I guess I feel a certain sense of like I have to have this group be great right from day one, and you know maybe that's not how it really works. You know, maybe you build it with two or three guys, and you know it takes time to invite the right people and find the right people and all that.
All right, your instincts are good there too. Okay, I'd rather see you meet with your friend, the residential realtor.
Okay.
And you guys use that session to plan who you want. Remember, a mastermind group is made up of people that have been proven to be good centers of influence.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
So it's kind of, I mean, you're taking some risk in building the mastermind group out at this stage, which is fine, but just know that you're taking some more risk by doing it. If you've been working on this for 2 years or 3 years, then your mastermind group would just be easy to put together. You're having
right.
trouble because your centers of influence aren't established.
Right.
Okay, so understand that what you're going through is normal, and you don't want to have, you're really convinced with this residential realtor. He's the right guy. Wait until you have that feeling about each new member.
Right.
Okay. Before you bring them in.
Sure, that makes sense.
Now, if he's got a guy that's he's that strong about, this can be a great way to meet him. It doesn't mean that he's in. It just means that this is an interview.
Yeah, for sure. I asked, I asked the realtor who about his relationships, and he doesn't really have strong relationships in some of the categories I was interested in.
Okay. What does he have relationships in?
Things that are kind of like a commercial realtor, real estate attorneys, closing agents, title agents, stuff like that. Stuff that's more ancillary to his work.
The commercial realtor would be a great opportunity.
For sure. I'm all for that.
Okay. So that would be, so you don't really have a CPA or an estate planning attorney or other attorney to invite to this yet, right?
I have like three, half of a CPAs that don't really qualify, none of them really qualify on their own merits.
Right. So the answer is yes, you don't have any.
Correct.
So I would use this meeting to meet the commercial realtor and see if you guys are a good fit.
Okay.
Okay, that'd be great. You have that lunch? A lunch is a perfect interview opportunity.
Okay.
It's not a real time to make this mastermind group work, meaning you're not going to get into it yet. You're still building it. So I wouldn't even try and do the, quote, mastermind thing yet.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
I think when it's two or three people, it's kind of premature.
Right. And if you get a, if you can, you know, between now and August 27th, you got plenty of time. If you can find one other guy, then you each bring one guy and you have a good interview session with all of them and see if it's a fit. You really do.
Yeah, my commercial insurance agent, I think, is a real good fit also.
Okay, so now you got four. That's a huge start.
Okay.
Okay?
I like it.
And just spend that time getting to know each guy. So everybody comes and each person gets a chance to talk about their career and their life and what's important to them and their values. And you know, you just go around and do that with each person. You want to see that your values are similar.
Right.
If your values are very different, it's probably not going to work.
Sure.
And you know what I mean.
I do.
I mean, look, I just met some guys playing golf, and it was really an interesting conversation. The guy that invited me to play, I'm brand new right now in Nashville, right? So I meet a guy and invites me to play golf, and I don't know his two buddies, and so we meet. And, you know, on the way out, we talk, and we got into what are our values and what's important to us in our life and so forth, because we're both living in the same building now.
Okay.
And this guy was good. I mean, his values and my values were the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're family men. We care about giving and helping and supporting others and coaching. And he had a coach. He has a coach, so he values coaching. He sees the value in it. The guys we played with, on the other hand, were really very different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have any children. They're not interested in having children. They're very much career oriented, which is great. It's just they were just different, right?
Sure.
But I think they're good guys, and I wouldn't preclude them from being part of a mastermind group, but it's important to understand what they value and what's important in their life, because, you know, you might be more interested in creating a family foundation, and they don't even know what you're talking about. You know, why
sure.
would you do that? Why would you give any money away to anybody, you know?
Right, sure.
So, anyway, I just share that because what happens with teams, they get in trouble when their values and work ethics are different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go back to what really is causing this problem here. And it's because their values are different. They just really didn't come from the same place.
Sure,
I had a team break up because they didn't want to do Supernova, and one of the members did.
Right. Do they work in Coral Gables?
No, but there you go.
Yeah.
Could be in any office, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it could be in any office, but this would happen to be in Indianapolis, Indiana. And one guy thought Supernova was the greatest thing in the world, and the other guys thought it was ridiculous. You know, why waste that time?
Sure. Gotcha.
Why waste time talking to clients? We gotta grow the business.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
You talk to clients enough to make them happy and no more.
Right. Don't bother them, they won't bother you.
Right. Don't call me.
Right.
I'll call you if there's any changes that we need to make.
Well,
I had one guy, the most extreme example I've ever known. He brought in a $60 million client, and I said, how many times are you planning on calling him? He said, once a year.
That's crazy.
Once a year. Going to do a, you know, half a day review once a year.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Well, clearly, you know, that wouldn't be a good team member, right?
Sure. Sure, of course.
All right. So I'm probably not telling you anything you don't know, but sometimes we got to get reminded of these things especially when you're building anything that has to do with teams.
Right.
And that's really what you're doing. You're building a team. A mastermind group is a team. It's not a bunch of individuals getting together. It's a bunch of people getting together, and they're going to form a working team.
Mm-hmm.
And their purpose is to help each other grow their businesses. That's the idea.
Right.
Getting together to help each other in their lives and also in their businesses. And it's to become friends. So you want to make sure that these people are people that you would enjoy spending time with. And they're ambitious too. They want to grow, and you can see that in 10 or 15 or 20 years, these people are going to be very, very successful in their businesses. So
sure.
your investment is going to pay off year after year after year.
Gotcha. Hey, can we switch gears for a minute?
Yep.
So the estate planning attorney, the younger guy who I've sent work to, who does a good job, and he and I know him through Rotary. He's about my age, so he's probably in his mid to late 40s. This is not Anthony's contact I'm talking about. This is one of my resources that I send work to because I know he does a good job.
But he doesn't send you business, right?
No, bastard doesn't send me any business.
Right.
When I had lunch with him, he told me that he has some sort of connection with Bessemer Trust, but that, you know, they only take big accounts, and that there was some opportunity to send stuff, I guess, under $10 million or whatever to me, which sounds fine to me. But yeah, that was about a year ago, and I've sent him stuff, and he's never sent me anything. What do you think I should do with him? I personally like and respect him, think he's a good guy and does good work. So
I'd put him on a 12-4-2.
Okay.
And I'd meet him for coffee every single month.
Okay.
Okay, it's going to be very difficult for him not to send you business.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to be sending him business, and he's going to be sitting there going, I need to send you business.
Right.
Okay? So it's a good investment because you want to convince him not to send business to Bessemer Trust.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a $6 million account if they're below, if that's below Bessemer's minimum.
Yeah, but you don't want to portray yourself as being
right.
You know, a subset of Bessemer Trust. You want to show him that you do more, you do better job than Bessemer Trust does, which you do.
Right.
Okay. Very important.
Right.
Your 12-4-2 with him will win the day.
Okay.
All right. Because they're not doing that.
Right.
Okay. So when you interview him, you want to know what it is that Bessemer Trust does that you like and what are the things that they do that you don't like.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you want to find out what his relationship is with them, why it's strong, and what he likes, and then if you could improve on that, what would make that one a better relationship?
So how do I present it? Do I basically invite him to lunch, sit him down, and after the small talk say, you know, something like, hey, listen, Chris, I wanted to just bring up the issue of how we can work together more, or, you know, like it seems like
no.
It's kind of crass to say, why aren't you sending me referrals, you jackass?
You treat him as if he's going to do everything that you want him to do.
Uh-huh.
So you make the assumptive close. And remember the 5 steps of developing a new center of influence?
I do.
Okay. So how many of those steps have you been through with him?
Maybe step 1.
That's right. Okay. So my point is, treat him as if he's brand new.
Okay.
All right. So you want to go and see and meet his staff.
Mm-hmm.
So you take someone, Tony, take somebody with you
mm-hmm.
to meet his staff so that everybody's comfortable. And the word you use is I'd like to meet everyone that's going to touch any of our clients.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And then you bring him back and meet your team in your space and show them how you work, how you do 12-4-2. And I would even, as best you can, introduce the 5-star model to him, roles and responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then you introduce him and show him the enthusiastically endorsed model.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the first meeting was setting it up. The second meeting is in his office. The third meeting's in your office. The fourth meeting is you're teaching him the enthusiastically endorsed model.
Gotcha.
And then the fifth meeting is the beginning of your 12-4-2s.
Okay.
So it's really 12. You meet with him. You know, you're not out of 12 scheduled, you know, coffees or breakfasts. You're going to probably be successful with 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you're going to cancel, he's going to cancel, and so forth. But you're going to meet 9 times, which is a hell of a lot more than you're meeting now. And by scheduling 12, he's going to think you're really serious. And so are you.
Right.
Okay. So he's not going to do it unless he's in.
Right, for sure.
So that's the point. Look, we're going to help each other grow our businesses. Are you in? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Gotcha.
Okay, so you then do everything. Your job then, everybody gets confused. What's my job? My job is to help him, right?
Right.
And you think, well, I can do that. Now, mm-hmm. What's his job? His job is to help you.
Right.
So I'm doing my job. I'm helping. And you, Mr. Friend, you have to do your job. Help me, right?
Right.
Let me help you. Let me help you, right? That's basically, you know, what you're doing. And it's the give to give and knowing that you're going to get screwed. But that's part of life. To be mm-hmm. successful in life, you have to give and get screwed occasionally.
Sure.
But most people aren't willing to try, so they don't date. They stay home.
Right.
Because you know, I could, you know, somebody's going to break my heart. Well, that's not the way you date, okay? You go out and you date like you're going to get married. And you know, hope you do, right? Your purpose is to build deep relationships with people that you can trust.
Sure, that makes sense.
Okay, so it takes courage, it takes patience, and it takes a great positive attitude all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, you're going to get smarter, you're going to get better. You know, you don't meet with smart, good people and not get smarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But you wouldn't bring him into the mastermind group yet because he hasn't earned it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I do have another question I wanted to run by you.
Okay.
So there's a good client of mine I've had for a long, long time. You know, we've been doing 12-4-1 now for the 12-4-2 rather for the last several years, and it's really brought the relationship to a very, very strong level. Yet he's never sent me referrals or introductions, even though he's well positioned to do so, I believe. And when I brought it up a couple of years ago, he actually kind of, you know, his reaction was not real positive. It was like, I think he was kind of like just not comfortable with the notion.
Right.
But he's going through the process of changing his account to a revocable trust. And I noticed that he's his trustee. And then there's his right-hand man who I have a good relationship with, who has an account with me also. And then after that, there's another individual who I don't recognize the name in the line of succession. And then there's the professional trust company I had recommended. So I asked him yesterday, you know, tell me, you know, that I see this, would it make sense for me to reach out to this other gentleman to make contact with him in case, God forbid, you know, the time were to come where, you know, you and Kenny are not around and I need to begin working with this guy as your trustee. I don't even know how to get a hold of him right now. I don't have any information on him. So he said, yeah, of course that would make sense. And then the right-hand guy chimed in with, you know, you might want to talk to him because he might be a good client for you too. So, which is exactly what I was hoping would happen. And so kind of in my happiness to get any kind of referral out of this previously unreferring guy, I just kind of left it at, okay, that's great, I'll do that. Now what I'm realizing, I should have asked while they were both on the phone, you know, why do you think that might be, he might be a good person to talk to, or why do you think that may be? Tell me a little bit about him. And I also realized I probably should have asked, if you were me, how would you go about getting in front of him?
Right.
So
right.
Given that I missed those opportunities, what do you think is the best thing to do now? Call back the client or the number two guy and ask those questions?
Yes.
Okay.
He volunteered it. And remember, what are you doing? You're doing them a favor.
Right.
That's the mentality you have to have is, you mentioned that it might be a good idea for Tom and I to meet.
Yeah.
You think you still think that's a good idea? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How would you suggest that we do that?
Okay. That sounds good. Because, I mean, he sent me his, subsequently they emailed me the contact information. So, you know, I could just call, but I don't know if they've talked to him yet to tell him that I'll be calling.
Right.
I don't know
right.
about
it. And you want to profile him. So before I even got into how would you suggest that we meet? I would profile him.
Yeah.
Tell me about Tom. Tell me about
right.
about him. Why do you think he'd be a good fit? Tell me about, you know, what's he like?
Right.
What kind of a guy is, you know.
It might turn out that the reason why he thinks we should meet is because the other guy this guy has a bunch of credit card debt and really needs my help, you know, to get his financial, you know, house in order. I mean, it could be any number of reasons, many of which I would not want to have anything to do with.
I would disagree. Anybody that's in the position of responsibility as a beneficiary, well, who knows? Is he a beneficiary or is he?
He's the successor trustee. He's third in line to be trustee.
All right. So he's a person that they both respect a lot.
For sure.
Right.
Yeah,
so he's not
sure.
going to be a credit card debt problem. He's going to be a very responsible citizen who probably is someone that he admires because of his good judgment.
Probably, yeah.
So that's a much higher probability than the other. I would say he's a very high probability of being highly qualified as a good guy and as a good candidate to be a client. Sure. Yeah, I would.
That makes sense.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right, so I'll circle back with my clients and ask those questions.
All right, so you just discovered, all right, by profiling and doing the proper research, you discovered a network of connections here that makes it a lot easier to get introductions than simply by saying who would be, you know, who would be a good fit for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we go back to the enthusiastically endorsed list, right?
What do you mean?
Well, the enthusiastically endorsed list is all your advisors. So if I were going to build an enthusiastically endorsed list around Abe, I would ask lots of questions about people that serve you,
mm-hmm.
right? People that you use and clearly admire and enthusiastically endorse. So I would get the names of all your advisors, CPA, attorney, state planning attorney,
sure.
doctors, lawyers, you know, dentists, everybody, right? And they'd go on a list, the enthusiastically endorsed list with phone numbers. And from time to time, it would come up in our conversations that I should meet them. Okay? Because
right.
I care about you. If I care about you, I want to know the people that you care about. And we should all be part of the same network.
You know, it's funny, but I've never actually gone to the time of writing it down. I mean, I don't maintain a master list like that.
Okay, in the folder is the mm-hmm. enthusiastically endorsed list.
Right.
You should fill that out for every client.
So when I give a client their folder, that list is already populated with my list.
It should be everybody that you know. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
And then you two should fill that out together over time so that it's complete. So if something would happen, you've got an immediate phone number. If something happens, he's got an immediate phone number. Or if something would happen to him, his family would have an immediate list of all the people that need to be in contact that he has passed away or has had a problem.
Yeah, see, I thought in the client folder, the enthusiastically endorsed list related to my client's professional relationships, not mine.
No, it's you. It's no, that's right. That's correct. They're his. That's right.
Okay.
But you can have one on yourself, right? You have your own
for sure.
personal folder. I have a personal folder, but for me, mm-hmm. in there is all my enthusiastically endorsed people. In my community. Now I'm starting in Nashville. I got to start over.
Right.
Because you're a client. You're a client of yourself, right?
Yeah.
You should have your own 12-4 too.
Okay.
And you should, you really should, you know. Do you consult with anybody else about your affairs?
What do you mean, like financially?
Yeah. Do you consult with anybody else about managing your money or?
No. I mean, I should have over the years, but no, I really don't.
Well, you know, you could do that as a teammate.
Right.
Which is kind of an interesting thing to do, but I mean, everybody should have an advisor of some sort, whether you pick your teammate or you pick somebody else, but you should be accountable for how you're managing your own money.
Yeah.
To somebody, to your manager, I don't care who, but pick somebody and then have a folder and meet and at least sit down once a month yourself and look at your portfolio and decide whether you're running your money properly.
Okay.
Okay. It's a really important thing because if you don't plan, I mean, the advantage that I had as a manager was I always had a financial advisor once I got out of the business. I never made any real money as a financial advisor until I went into management, and then I stopped trying to trade options and be stupid and started to save money.
Right.
And did well then. You know, it was probably the smartest thing I ever did. I think we're kind of crazy to try and manage our own money unless you're really, really good at it.
Yeah, I've come to that same conclusion. I made some big mistakes with my own accounts a while back, and I've been digging my way out of that. And it's a long story, but at this point, all my investments are pretty much on autopilot, and I don't fuck around with trying to trade stocks or, you know, options or any of that kind of stuff.
Good.
Yeah. Yep.
Good. Good.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
So, what else? What did you want to cover today? I mean, I know that, you know, I talked a lot, but I also want to make sure that I'm not taking away the opportunity for you to bring stuff up.
Well, I mean, you do your homework, you listen to the videos, you know, you watch the videos, you're listening to the tapes, I hope, on the Supernova Multiplier, and so that should be, you know, your skills should be improving, and, you know, week 9 is building your pipeline, which we've been talking about and working on for some time. How are you doing on tracking that pipeline? Are you meeting using the spreadsheet?
Yeah, we have been. I mean, we have used the spreadsheet. I find that my spreadsheet needs some work just to get it more less cumbersome, you know, where I don't have to be printing off 17 pages of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, that's going well.
Good. Do you understand the difference between a mastermind group and a niche mastermind group?
Yes.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, and I've thought about if there's a particular niche we could focus on in this mastermind group. And one of the things that I thought what would be nice would be people who are relocating to South Florida. But I don't think that I don't really, I mean, because the realtor has that's a big focus of his, and he has he really does a lot with that, but I don't think I can bring much to the table around that.
You don't need to.
No?
No.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't really have any kind of source of people who are relocating to South Florida. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's not like my clients do that frequently.
You don't need to worry about that. That's a great niche. It's like people that are selling their businesses. You're not going to have many people that sell their businesses either.
Right.
That doesn't mean that it's not a great niche.
Okay.
You see, you don't need to bring anything except your ability to manage money to the table. It's like the CPA. The CPA doesn't have to, you know, the CPA has to know the rules for establishing residence. You know, you can know the rules for helping to establish residence in South Florida. Having an account here definitely would help.
Sure.
But it's not like you can, I mean, you can use your creativity to identify people that are moving to South Florida. You can help them with marketing and sales. You're a marketer, so you're good at this. You just have to turn your focus to that. The realtor, clearly, that's an important part. But here's the point about people that are moving to South Florida. It's money in motion, right?
Right.
It's money in motion. It's a big change. It's a red letter day for them.
Sure.
Anytime people move anywhere, it's a big deal. It's such a dramatic change in their life that they are willing to meet new people and disrupt their normal group of consultants.
Right.
Now, it takes longer for them to break up with their financial advisor than it does others, CPA, attorney, whatever. But still, if everybody else is recommending you, it's pretty compelling, especially if it wasn't that great a relationship up to now.
Sure, sure.
You see? So it's a definite niche. It's a great one.
Okay.
So, yeah, no problem there. You don't have to be the expert. You can become the expert. You know, you don't have to be the expert now.
Right.
So,
well, I thought that because, I mean, I want to be sure I'm going to be able to send referrals to the other members of the group. And I thought that if we make it something like that, then I don't think I'll be able to send many people moving to South Florida referrals to the realtor. But what I'm realizing as we explore this is that, you know, if I send a realtor a referral of somebody who's not moving, who's already in South Florida, but it's a good referral, he doesn't give a crap whether or not that guy fits technically within the definition of the mass niche that we're focusing on.
Correct.
He's
bingo.
Just not the referral.
Bingo. Yeah. You got it.
I got you. Okay.
See, it's just a way of focusing your marketing efforts.
Uh-huh.
It's not a way of, you know, it's not the only thing you're doing. It's just one thing that brings you all together because you all, you know, see the opportunity. So it's a nice opportunity. I mean, think, you know what you can bring to the group? The enthusiastically endorsed list.
Right.
Nobody has that.
Yeah.
Goldmine.
Yeah, I believe so.
See what I mean? Nobody has that. Nobody has even thought about doing that. You know, it's a welcome, you know, welcome wagon. Yeah, people do that, but they don't give you a list of all the best people in the community. You know, they can go to Angie's list, but that's everybody, right? That's not executive.
Sure. Sure.
And these are high-end people. This is kind of an Angie's list for the top people in the community, the wealthiest people. They don't want anybody. They want the best.
Right.
So yours is sort of the best. And then this group can start, they'll all see the advantage of that, and they can start to contribute to that, and you guys can come up with a universally accepted, enthusiastically endorsed list of the best people in the community at each of these things. And then you can have cocktail parties for them and, you know, green room receptions with them and their wives and and just this can be kind of a, you know, a club.
Right.
A woman in California has a group she calls My Favorites. And she meets with them twice a year and has a big dinner at her house with all of them. So it's, you know, it's pretty, it's basically the enthusiastically endorsed list. So it's, you know, it's not, I'm not the first to have discovered this idea, but I don't, I don't really hear people talking about it very much.
Yeah. It's a great idea, though.
No, it is a great idea, you know. And then the question, you know, as a marketing, can you, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? No. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a great guy for you, you know.
Right.
Right? I got a guy that's enthusiastically endorsed, you know. So it's a way of helping these this group to refer each other. And you can ask that question of anybody anywhere.
Sure.
So you need to develop some introductions for your CPA because he's so great, or your realtor. You know, you can
right.
always ask. Can you enthusiastically endorse your realtor? No. I don't really have one. Okay.
Right. Well, I was thinking of trying to get my introductions for my realtor, and I mean, I think that that's going to be, you know, one fear I have is that that's going to be challenging because everybody needs a financial advisor, but most people don't need a realtor.
Yeah, but when they need them, it's a big deal.
For sure. But, you know, so I've got my ears, my eyes peeled and my ears open for people who mention they may be moving or buying or selling. But beyond, you know, just stumbling across opportunities like that, how do I look for that? You know what I mean?
Well, keep in mind that, you know, with your group, if you form it, everybody's going to be looking, and he's going to get enough. He's going to get enough from the group, and you're going to get credit, by the way, for forming the group and keeping the group together for every introduction that's ever made from the group.
That's a good point.
You're going to get credit. You're going to get credit because you are the one that organized it. You're the one that keeps it together. You're the one that keeps it going. Anytime anybody gets an introduction, you're going to get credit no matter whether you gave it or not.
That's a great point. Are you still there?
So, no, I like this. I like it a lot. I like the, you know, new people moving because you got a ton, right? It's like new people moving to Nashville. It's crazy.
Right.
100 a day, you know, 150 a day move in here, families. So, you know, they're all look, my buddy, his daughter is a realtor. Well, she helped my daughter with her house and she helped us with our house. So is she a happy camper? Yeah.
Sure.
You know, right?
For sure.
But she didn't offer me an enthusiastically endorsed list for Nashville.
No.
And, you know, and when you're moving in, you're so busy. You don't have time to find a dentist or find a doctor or find anything, right? You're kind of a mess. And so anybody that helps you, it's a time when it's really appreciated.
Right.
So anyway, that's why you happen to hit the nail on the head when bringing that up with me.
Good. Good.
I'm sitting here in Nashville in boxes wondering, how do I get a personal trainer? You know, how do I get this? How do I get that? So
sure.
It's a pain. You know, it's annoying. You got to have to ask people.
Sure.
Experiment. You know, and that means I'm experimenting, right? And I'd rather not experiment at my stage.
Right. Of course.
And your clients are the same way. They're going to be 65, 70 years old. They don't want to experiment. They just want to be given people. they come from wealthy areas that they have people, you know, and now they got to start over.
Right.
My doctor said he'd refer me to as, you know, a good guy here and – That was a month ago, and I still haven't heard, right? And I called him, and he said, oh, I'll get on that, and I still haven't heard.
Uh-huh.
So it's, like, annoying.
Sure. Gotcha.
So just think about, you can be such a big help. That's the part. Don't hesitate. You can be such a big help to these people. Even if they don't choose you or the CPA or somebody else, they'll still value the fact that you reached out and suggested it.
Okay.
Okay?
That sounds good.
It's really a nice thing to do, and it's definitely needed.
Sure.
The other big one that I would think about, you know, down the road, whether, you know, Anthony, you know, somebody else does it, you do it, but businesses, people that are selling their businesses, the same thing. You're not that many, you know, how many people do you have that are selling businesses? Well, you don't need too many, right?
Right.
They sell their business once in their life, but it's a, you know, it's a big ticket for everybody.
Right.
So, you know, it's probably a $5 million payday for you, but it's a big ticket for the attorney and the CPA and everybody else. The realtor,
sure.
You know, the realtor selling the building. And so anyway, that's another gold mine, but it takes some patience.
Yeah, for sure.
But those are the two that are the most, I think those are the two that are the easiest. Every community should have a mastermind group for those two things. And probably none of them have it.
Right.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, you know, I think you get the mastermind thing, and trust me, you're not too many people really understand it or venture into it. They're chicken, and, you know, there's so many different, I mean, it's like forming a team. People just don't want to do it because it becomes complicated. But there's leverage. It's leverage.
Yeah.
Like any other team, it's leverage. And that's what you're looking for here.
Yeah, that's the key.
All right. So anyway, I think, did we cover it?
Yeah, definitely.
And the guys are all listening to the book on tape and everything?
Yeah.
Great. Great.
Yeah.
What are you finding from listening to it?
I mean, I feel, you know, Tony asked me right before our call now, he said that, you know, hey, but I mean, I'm noticing, like, I'm listening to the book and I'm watching the video, you know, for each call. And, you know, I'm noticing, like, it's kind of the same thing over and over again. Is, you know, am I missing something, or, you know, is that how it's supposed to be? And I said, yeah, I mean, it all reinforces each other.
Right. Remember that the five steps to really owning an idea,
mm-hmm.
curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You got to hear it five times before you really own it. They
right.
say it's eight times for a new idea. You have to hear a new idea eight times.
Wow.
So, yeah, I know. Maybe we're smarter than those people, but you're really trying to develop a skill set in the use of the words. And so
right.
you've got to hear it and hear it and hear it and practice it and practice it and practice it and then use it. Okay?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're running into my next call.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Okay. Thanks All very right. much. Bye-bye. Mike, is that you?
Hey, yeah, that's me.
And John, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm just going to stop.
Did you need a break to go to the bathroom or something, Rob?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. It's funny. Let me just...